Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Are you serious?
This is How to Kill an Hour. Hello, my name is Marcus Bronzy. There's plenty of ways to kill some time out there. Right now, you're going to kill some time with us. Before we crack on with today's show, if you want to join the tribe, the How to Kill an Hour family, find out exactly how we're killing time, get exclusive discount codes and competitions. You can enter those a little bit early if you join this mailing list as well. Just head to howtokillanhour.com/news. That's howtokillanhour.com/news. Now, on today's show, I am joined by two fucking legends.
Oi, oi.
Please introduce yourselves.
Oi, oi. I won't go that far.
All right, two very stand-up guys. Two respectable human beings.
Stand up.
I still wouldn't go that far.
Okay. Wait, guys.
Just a couple of guys.
Two organic masses have joined us on today's show.
Hi.
Hey.
Can we welcome Wide Away?
Was
he's
a crowd
got
or something.
Reverb
was it
on that
just
as
me
well.
Clapping by myself.
Yeah, thanks. Sorry to stick it on Billy again. We're fucking clapping, bruv. And again,
Billy?
You just
Billy?
Disrespect the clap, bruv.
Hey, Billy.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank
you. Yes, man, like Billy.
Hey, Billy claps when Billy wants to clap, you know?
Please. Reintroduce yourselves, though. Let's just make it clear. You are Wide Awake,
allow
also known
to
as.
Reintroduce ourselves. My name is CJ.
My name is Jordan Chris.
And together we are...
Oh, say it at the same time, CJ.
Wide Awake.
Hey!
I'm a celebrity. Get me out of the jungle.
Who are you, man? And what do you do?
Former garage MC plus former drum and bass MC.
Ex-stripper hand models.
Together joined forces to create incredible trap music, which has taken over the globe one song at a time.
Indeed.
To put it in short, we're two DJ producers from London who make trap music.
From South London, to be specific.
Yeah.
South London, to be specific.
Mm-hmm. Specific, yeah.
Pacific.
Pacific, to be Pacific.
To be Pacific. And fucking trap music you make. Can I play a small clip of No featuring Cadet and Dirt Cap, and produced by yourself and Dirt Cap?
Yeah? I would be offended if you didn't, Marcus.
Okay, this is a little example of what these guys do.
No, no, you can't shut down the rib just by saying his name.
No, brother, no. Carry on, brother.
No, no, you ain't better than me, brother.
So, is it fair to say when you play your music in the clubs, people go absolutely ape shit? Because that is nuts, man.
We've been known to turn clubs.
I think if you come to a
Wide
Awake show and you don't go crazy, why are you even there?
What is life? What are you
what
doing?
What is life?
What are you,
what are you doing with your life if you come to the club and don't turn up?
Yeah,
like
no, we've been fortunate enough to travel.
Yeah,
all over the globe. We've found that the UK isn't as lively as mainland Europe or Asia or North America. However, they still go as ape as they can. But it's a very conservative country that we live in. So the UK not so much, but mainland Europe, they go absolutely bananas.
And it's good that you're getting out there and kind of traveling around, because last time we caught up, you were kind of having the conversation about, right, we're going to take this shit on the road. We've done a few Europe gigs, but we're going to frigging do it big time. And between like now and last year, when we spoke, you guys have definitely ticked that box. But you said Europe's got a bit more energy than the rest of the UK. I feel like we're conservative over here.
Oh, way too conservative.
We are. I mean, we're built for rave music. A lot of it comes from here. We should it should be in our blood. But I think maybe over the course of a few years, people have got too used to it over here. So they don't appreciate it as much as maybe somewhere like Germany or I don't know.
Yeah, they're too spoiled over here.
Yeah, if they feel a bit spoiled in the UK. Not to say they don't, you know what I mean? They don't have a good time. But I think...
No, the problem is that we did an incredible show in a club called Boots House in Cologne in Germany. And if you ever get an opportunity to go there, I would highly recommend you going. The club will change your life. So we went there and we DJed and they mosh pit for fun. And when we say mosh pit, like they take it seriously. You know how people in clubs over here, they've got their dance moves or they've got a couple of years ago it was all about the shuffle. Like that was a very strategic thing people used to do in the club.
Glad that's gone now.
Yeah. So they don't do that over there. They mosh professionally. Mm. That's what they do.
And they'll turn up. It will look like a riot. They'll turn up in balaclavas.
Ski masks,
bandanas. They'll have them round their necks as well. They won't put them on, and then they'll clear the pit, like they clear the space. Then they put their bandanas on.
They're so fucking organized.
And there's always one person who stays in the middle of the pit who like does backflips or like.
We call them the pit gymnast.
The pit gymnast.
So there's one person in the middle of the pit, and they're basically the target. And then everyone clears the pit, and they go absolutely bananas. But it's very disciplined and very controlled. So if someone falls over in the pit,
they stop the pit.
They pick them up out of the pit, make sure they're all right, put them to one side, boom, back in again.
Yeah,
that's quite nice.
So then, to our humor, we come back to the UK and we do shows, and we see people attempting to mosh pit. It's very tame. It's very tame in comparison.
It's very, very tame.
So I think the message there is...
probably more dangerous as well.
Really? What? Oh, because there's not the picking up people off the floor and...
There's no organisation. Do you know what I mean?
So what we're saying is to make a good mosh pit, we need some sort of structure.
There does. You know, on the outside, you're going to look at it and say that this is anarchy.
Okay.
However... if you are in the pit, you are in control of the pit.
So the key is organised chaos.
Absolutely.
That's exactly. The key.
Yeah. And respect. So like the problem is over here that we found as well. You know, Marcus, Billy, you know, you guys have been to clubs over the years, right? All it takes is for someone to step on your shoe and it's instant murder on the dance floor.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not in a good way.
A man will stab you with a screwdriver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
However, over there, you know, you step on someone's shoes, it's fine. Like, there's no issues. Like, it's an accident. We keep it moving.
Yeah,
you know,
it's fine.
You throw someone over in a mosh pit, it's fine. Accident.
You get your leg dirty.
Collateral damage.
It's all right.
Well, I want to come and see you guys in Europe then. If I, like the listener, want to come and see you in Europe, where can I find out where you are going to be? Where's the easiest way of me finding that out?
Well, funny you say that, Marcus. You can visit our website.
WeBuyTheWig.com.
Yeah. There is a homepage that will link you to all of our socials and our dates are up there also. Like,
I'm sorry for scaring you the other day about your website as well. Like, I messaged CJ at stupid o'clock in the morning because I wake up at a stupid time. And I just went on your website to have a look and it weren't working. The website was down. So I messaged CJ like a good citizen. I was like, CJ, your website's not working, bruv. Just letting you know. And then you did message me back.
You did come across in a bit of a panic. I was touched by your concern, Marcus.
Yeah. I was concerned. And, CJ was like, nah, the site's working fine. Yeah. And I looked at my phone, I fucking typed it in wrong, the website wrong. But just so you know, I've got you, bruv. I
appreciate that.
I have got you. You got that? Merch as well, ain't you?
We got eyes on the street. Oh, we should have brought some merch,
man. We should have brought some.
Damn it.
What kind of merch are you merching with at the moment?
So we have the exclusive Le Box tees. Mm-hmm. You get a good two washes out of them.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's quite long. It's a Gilgen t-shirt.
Okay.
We're available in black and white.
They're not.
What?
Noir.
Oh, sorry. Noir and blanc.
Can you stay all in character?
Yeah, sorry, mate.
It's Le Box.
Yeah, it's Le Box, which isn't even French, by the way, P.S. But Le Box, right?
Lee Box.
Lee Box.
Yeah.
Noir, blanc, available now.
Yeah, je suis blanc and je suis noir.
Okay.
Au revoir.
Bonjour.
Yeah, so 15 quid.
15 quid, that's not bad actually.
Or 15. I was going to try and convert to euros.
Oh,
16 euros, something like that.
To be fair, the pound is in a very bad state at the moment, so it probably
is. That 5 euros, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, man, merching, and you got tunes out there. I know how you got together, but listen to mine not. Like, how did you guys meet up, man? It's quite an interesting story.
Is it interesting?
Tinder. Tinder. I mean, come on. Who would have fucking...
You say
Plenty
interesting.
Of Fish is one crazy website, man.
Hey, Grindr, bro.
So, there was a competition on Twitter that DJ City were running a few years back. It was a competition to remix a top 40 record. And I entered it, i.e. me, Jordan Crisp, and didn't think much of it. But the prize was to fly to LA with... this man here, CJ Beats.
I mean, the prize should have just been me, really. Who needs a...
just CJ's ass.
CJ's ass. That's what I was about to win. But no, the prize was to fly to LA with DJ Plays, a DJ from Newcastle, CJ Beats, who you obviously know, and Mr. Jam from Radio 1 Extra. Anyway, forgot about a competition, then won it. The first time I met CJ was at the airport. And then obviously we went to LA, had a great time, we flew to Vegas, and then coming back from that, stayed in contact with him, and then got talking about music, and then a few years later we started up Wide Awake.
Nice.
And that was it. That's it.
Really. In a nutshell.
It blossomed.
Yeah, and you are making some great music. I believe you had a track featured on Wiley's latest album.
We did indeed.
Godfather Part 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. And you guys are out there producing a load of stuff. Like, what have you got coming up? Because last time we met, you actually had a Will Smith tune in the works.
Mm-hmm. Ha-ha. Looks like it came out.
My only disappointment in the Will Smith record coming out is that it came out just before he really got on Instagram.
Yeah.
And I feel like if he was on, like literally if the song came out a month later when Will Smith was in full Instagram mode,
I think he would have
Spoke about the song a little bit more than he has done.
Has he mentioned it a bit? Has he? Because he's Will, because you know, he's at that level where he can, if he wants, so he can just put out a record.
Yeah. Timeline goes like this. We get an email from a manager saying, Will Smith just put out a new song. Is this the one that you guys did?
to
which we replied, yeah, so is.
what is the song? Can we give it a little play?
So the song is Will Smith and Jazzy Jeff, I believe.
No, it's just Will Smith. Will Smith, Get Lit.
Get Lit.
Get Lit.
Yeah.
That's GETLIT.
Oh, this is it being played live somewhere.
Yeah. This was the first time we heard it, so he performed it live. Blackpool, I think.
so he premiered us in Blackpool.
Yeah.
Is this when he did his Blackpool gig?
Yeah.
Live band.
With cuts and scratches.
So this song was actually written by Exo Man.
Yeah.
Who was another artist from South London.
Okay.
7 foot tall, you can't miss him.
So Exo wrote this, and then Will said,
So the story goes like this. We made the song 3 years ago?
Yeah, it was just an instrumental one. It was initially going to be for one of our EPs. And so we had the song sitting there. It was featuring Exo at that time.
Right.
Anyway.
You're going to squeeze this in before the drop.
So Exo Man got in contact with Will Smith's management, who wanted to manage him. He played them some songs. He heard this song and was like, I want it. Fire. I forgot that he raps on the drop too.
So you just never
I'm
know
gonna
what's
be
gonna
honest.
Happen.
Yeah. It's not the first song I put Will Smith on, but he definitely has his own thing to it.
Well, I mean, this was always the conversation that myself and Jordan had, which was, oh, Will Smith wants to make music. All right, cool. We should make some Will Smith music.
All right, it would have been great if we'd had the opportunity to actually produce for Will Smith.
No, with him.
With him, yeah, is a better way. Then I think it would have been a slightly different outcome.
Because you guys are quite flexible, like in terms of your sound. Like you make trap, that's what you like to do. But I feel like you can lend your hand to anything. Like again, like on Wiley's album, I wouldn't say that you made the trappiest trap crazy song.
Shout out to producer KA1 on the buttons with us too. Yeah, I mean we like music and we love the UK and we love everything that's happening in the UK. So we're influenced by like a million and one different things. To be fair. If you go on our hard drive, you will find anything from house to hip hop to country. I mean, not that any of it will see the light of day.
Mm. A lot of it won't, but or a lot of it will see the light of day, but you won't know it's us. But I mean, the ooh, bottom secrets. Line is
elusive production.
Well, you know, no, but yeah,
produced by Marcus Bronzy. production.
But you know what? It comes down to the fact that we're both producers. And if Wide Awake wasn't a thing, we'd continue to work outside of it anyway. And I think being able to do our Wide Awake stuff, which is obviously trap and EDM, and then also being able to produce for other people it's nice. It breaks it up a little bit so that it's not constantly trap and EDM for us.
Yeah,
it,
I mean, a typical day in a life would be, right, we know what we're doing, so we'll go into the studio with a specific focus. But there are certain
days, a specific
focus. But there are certain days where you just turn the computer on and start banging buttons and yeah. You know, whatever happens, happens.
That's a fun day though, isn't it?
And then like, you get lit.
And getting creative and get lit as well.
Okay. Sounds like a day in the How to Kill an Office Hour. How to Kill an Hour office.
Yeah. Hey man.
Bang buttons.
With shotguns and chairs.
I can't wait to get into that in a little bit, man. So yeah, Wide Awake's music. You're sticking with us the rest of the show, right? You're not just pissing off now after you've plugged yourselves.
No, we're done, ain't it? WeWideAway.com. Le Box t-shirts available right now.
That's right.
In noir and blanche.
Yeah. No, with Dirk Captain Cadet available right now.
Available in euro and pound.
Okay. And yen as well, maybe?
Yen.
Are we distributing outside of Europe?
Worldwide, baby.
Oh, worldwide.
Although shipping fee might be expensive.
Shipping costs may...
may vary. Your item may not be delivered, but you will be charged. So, actually, quickly, before we move on, what are your future plans like? What have you got in a pipeline? Where do you want to be? Because last year you said you wanted to be doing more traveling, more gigging, and you've done it. Easy. You said you might have a tune out of Will Smith. Haha, you've done it. So like what's forthcoming?
We've got a couple of things coming up. I couldn't give you specific dates because because
are you trying to make us illiterate?
Yes. I am, because you'll leave here and be like specifically.
I could give you specific.
It's same when someone says like ask or ox. It's
like, can I have a double espresso?
But yeah, usually our manager is here on the side to just go, oh, it's this date and this date, but she's not here, so I can't remember anything.
Actually, what we can tell you is that we're currently working on an EP. An extended player, which you may be able to help us out with a slight conundrum that we have.
Oh, yeah, that's
which
true.
Is what to name an EP. How would you describe a body of work by Wide Awake, Marcus?
I'd like that.
Can I ask you what the kind of music is going to be first?
I'll tell you.
Can I?
No. I'll give you
you just heard that Will Smith record, yeah?
Yeah. Ha ha. Woohoo. Ha ha. So the only way to describe the EP that's coming is obviously it's going to be fire, number one, but we're kind of approaching a new territory, which is cry rave music. So it's music that makes you want to rave and cry at the same time. Do you know what
it's
I mean?
Like, it's so...
So instead of a mosh pit, cry pit. Yeah? You get in that pit and you just cry.
So, and then you come out and you like shake it off like, oh, that was so good. Weight off my shoulders.
Or you just hug someone.
Yeah.
Hug pit? Hug pit could be good. Cry pit? No, you prefer cry pit. You want to go? No, you're looking at me like, nah, that's too far, Marcus.
That's what happens when you come to one of our...
Yeah, no, you're right. It's like calling it rave cry or cry pit is too literal.
No, that's just to describe the feeling.
You want something that kind of encompasses that?
Yeah.
But it's a bit more vague.
So it's the sort of music that you're going to...
Sorry to put you on the spot here, Marcus.
And it's emotional. So you want to cry, but at the same time, it's hard. So you want to rave.
It's emotive. It's energetic.
It's emotive and energetic.
But it gets you right in the
feels.
In the chest.
I'd say Oxymoron, but there's a rapper that's already done an album called Oxymoron. So
it sounds like a drum and bass title as well. Anything slightly scientific sounds drum and bass.
Happy, sad.
I mean, you can stew on that for a minute.
Smile, cry. Smile, cry.
It's all right. We don't expect it right now, but
smile, cry. 10 minutes. Because I want my fucking 5%. Smile, cry.
Smile, cry.
Producer Billy looks like he's got some ideas.
I was thinking.
Yeah? Go.
I've got nothing at the moment, but I was thinking.
Yeah, you fucking had us on the edges of our seats, Billy.
I was thinking.
I was thinking.
Then I'll tell you soon.
I'll just call it one.
What?
Number one.
Number one.
Another thing that we need to consider is we never exactly picked the best name for searching online. So when you type Wide Awake onto Google, obviously the first thing that comes up is a young Katy Perry. So we were hoping to find something that would be easily searchable.
Okay, Google. Mm. Okay, right. Mm.
Because I mean,
there's a word for that, right?
I think we should call the EP
Unique.
Wide Awake, Katy Perry.
What was your last EP called?
The last EP,
Hard as Nails.
Yeah, we've only done one EP. Yeah. That was about 2 years ago. Hard as Nails.
Hard as Nails. So what about something that's soft? So you've got Hard as Nails, soft as butter.
Wide Awake's Church of Wraith.
Oh! Hey!
Oh! Billy! Billy with a good...
Billy! Oh, Billy's at you!
I forget. You've got
Bob. Oh, Church of Wraith!
I feel Billy needs a bit of reverb on his voice when he speaks. All right,
sorry, Billy. Can you drop that, please?
Wide Awake's Church of Rave.
I want that cut. I want the intro and the EV to be
oh
that.
My gosh.
Wide Awake's
Church of Rave is good. That is dope. Let's Google
Rave Church. But another thing as well, we found that a lot of people outside the UK don't use the word rave.
Yeah, that's the
rave is
well.
A very British
rave is
thing
a super
say.
British thing and quite an old phrase as well, really. Like, nobody's really like, do people really say like, oh, I'm going to a rave anymore? Do you know what I mean?
They'd say it here in the UK.
So bring it the fuck back. Bring it back. And I've just Googled Church of Rave, and the first thing that came up was, hello and welcome to the Church of Rave, a religious organisation dedicated to offering sacramental molecules in the service of bliss and spiritual ecstasy. As such, we exempt ourselves from state taxation. Oh, yeah, so it's a tax wave. Tax dodge. There you go.
Yeah. What is that? Could be, yeah. That could be the EP.
There's a Church of Rave.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, there's YouTube videos of raves in church, but I think we all know where that goes. So, Wiki, you got a new EP coming out. When can we expect that?
We're currently working on it, so
potentially October. I don't know. The next two things that we've got coming up, we've got a collaboration with a producer, a very talented producer from Copenhagen called Snavs.
Mm-hmm.
That's coming next month.
June the 1st.
That's it. There we go. We've got dates.
Released on Spinning Records.
Yes. And then after that, we have another collaboration with another set of producers from New York Member.
I'm excited about this one.
Which is, it's a nice little tasty record.
Yeah, if you were watching Tiësto's set during his Ultra 2018 performance, you might have heard this drop amongst many other drops in his set. Big up Tiësto, though. He's actually been supporting our records heavy.
What's it like having people like Tiësto spin your tunes? Does it still excite you? That would excite me very much.
100%. You know what it is? It's when you get video footage of it is the most exciting thing, because we can always find it online and say, oh, this DJ's played it in whatever it is, but then when you find the footage of them playing it, and it's like, because they play to masses of people, do you know what I mean? That's a different feeling than
when you see that cry pit in real life.
Yeah, when you see the cry pit.
Because you know what they say, if there's no footage of it, did it even happen?
If it's not on the gram, does it exist?
Does it might as well
if
not.
If a tree fell in the woods, did it even fall?
Okay, cool. Before we move on to how you've been killing some time, because I believe you have been killing some time. Well, I know because I was in the room. Last time we spoke on the Marcus Meets podcast, we spoke about our love for calamari.
Mm.
We call it the Calamari Quest. I have experienced calamari in different parts of Europe. Stand out to me was some Barcelonan Spanish.
Catalonian.
Hey, some Barcelonan.
Specifically was a Barcelonian,
you know,
yeah.
Add to ox the waiter in Barcelonan.
I said specifically, yeah. Can I have some of that calamari? But I had some good calamari in Barcelona. I believe my Catalan was on point as well.
Mm.
But where have you been having some calamari?
You're near the sea in Barcelona, exactly. So I would expect it. To be of level.
It was a little leggy. I like the little legs one. The ones that look like little octopi.
Mm.
I concur.
Just bare new words. I like it.
Shakespeare, baby. He could do it. I fucking make my own words. Right. What about you, calamari-wise?
Calamari-wise.
Where have you had some good calamari?
When was the last time I had some really good calamari?
Because last time we caught up, you were holding some feelings because Jordan recommended some good calamari or some good fish, and it wasn't good
fish. No, I recommended octopus.
He recommended the octopi.
The octopi of the family of
octopedage.
And unfortunately the restaurant let me down, and we were in Greece as well. What a letdown.
That's terrible.
What
man.
A letdown. But so, since then I just feel miserable. Can't be bothered, because now I've tasted better calamari than octopus, and
So are you a fan of the pussy or the calamari then? Which is the octopus or the calamari?
I'm a fan of both.
Yeah.
You know, I'd say if we were talking about octopedians.
Yeah.
Depends on the day, really, doesn't it?
Okay.
But yeah, the last
bit of calamari is more readily available.
Yeah, the last bit of calamari that I really enjoyed was on one of the journeys back when we supported Steve Aoki on his UK tour.
Yes.
Across the UK, the colony tour. That was really fun earlier on this year. What town did we stop in?
Oh, I don't know.
Because we were coming back from Manchester, I believe.
I think we were driving back from Manchester and we had to stop off somewhere in some kind of village.
It was a really quaint village.
Beautiful.
It was about an hour away from Manchester on our way back down to London. Somewhere off the M1.
Near Chester or something like that.
But anyway, we walked into this restaurant where everyone was like dressed to the nines and we had just come off stage. So
we walked up in sweaty t-shirts and trainers.
We were looking great. However, yeah, the calamari they ordered there was...
That was good. Was like you know
good,
what?
A good solid 8.5 out of 10.
I had a solid pasta dish in there as well. Like a salmon pasta dish. And yeah.
Thanks for letting us know.
That Marcus is currently Googling.
I'm trying to find this place. I want to recommend it. You're like, yeah, it was great, but you'll never find it.
Yeah. Never find it. Yeah,
oh, man.
It was decent. It was very decent.
Cool. If you just tuned in, welcome to Hunter Killing Hour, the Calamari Podcast. Right. So we always kick off the show by one, introducing our guests, and then we talk about our killer bit, which is a section of the show where we talk about how we've been killing some time. Sometimes it's an app, sometimes it's a device, sometimes it's something that you wear, or it's a computer game. We got you to play a couple of games before you got in here and recorded the podcast today. First things first, you had a little hands-on with a Nintendo Labo. We covered that in great depth in the last episode, and we have got a brand new explainer video showing you how to put it all together, which you can check via a link in the show description. How was your experiences of the Nintendo Labo Toy-Con 2 robot pack? How was it for you, CJ?
It was it was confusing. I couldn't quite get the correlation between moving my legs and my arms versus what was actually happening on the screen. I'm a novice when it comes down to games, and all that considered, I think I did all right.
You did number two on the scoreboard. There's been a few.
No one remembers number two, but we're on the board at the very least.
Wide Awake is dominating the top spots on that board. Is that right, Jordan?
Well, yeah. I mean. Hi, I'm Jordan. I am number one on the scoreboard at the moment, just to let everyone know. My experience with the Nintendo Labo, I think it's good. It's definitely built for kids. I don't think it's built for heavy set adults, because I feel like, don't get me wrong, you can have fun as an adult playing it, but I think it's perfect father-son bonding time. Make the thing together. Maybe even paint it. Yeah, that's it. You painted your favourite colour, you put it together. Dad swears throughout the whole process. And then you build it, and then you play it for a few days, and then it ends up in the cupboard in a few months. That's what I genuinely think Labo will become. But fun for those. I think, I don't know, I think what they have to do now is once you've set up the pack, then they start expanding the games. But if the games are only for with the cartridges, can you download the games at all?
Can download Nintendo games, but I think with the Labo, you buy the software that comes in the box. So the cartridge that I put in the console comes with a big stack of cardboard that you build stuff with. And it's good that you should say that, actually, because there are... I'm not getting paid for this. There's actually, more stuff you can do in the discover section. So I showed you one thing that you can do with the kit.
Yeah.
But there's other things you can do, like there's repairing it, there's customizing it, there's having different modes of it. So there is a bit of extension, but I get what you're saying. Like it could be something if you've got a short attention span that you might play on once, whack in the cupboard.
Potentially. I mean, that was the Wii for me. Like after a little bit, it was like, yeah, it was fun. You had a couple of friends around, you played that for a little while, and mm-hmm. then like everyone's got a dusty Wii in the closet. If you don't have a dusty Wii, are you even a gamer? Do you know what I mean?
You've like, got a dusty Wii.
If you ain't got a dusty Wii, have you even lived? But yeah, that's what I find with Nintendo stuff. But I like the console. I like the Switch console. I think that's a great idea. I like the fact that you can take it away and have it on the road and play with it on the road and then bring it back to the house. And I like that element of it. I get, providing they bring out good games for it over time, because that's where I think Nintendo have always fallen down. Is they start off, they've got their Marios and their big brands and their, you know, that sort of thing, and then once that's over, once the hype of the Mario hype is over, the carts have gone and whatever, then you're left with just a console that does X, Y, and Z. That's when you need the proper games that then keep the console going.
That's a good point, you know, because we've been really excited about Zelda, Mario Kart, Super Mario Odyssey, but what next?
Yeah, what comes after that? Because I've always felt that as soon as they've released all of those ones, that's it.
I think you guys have been a bit harsh on Nintendo here. Aren't they the granddaddies of this gaming world?
I think they are the kooky uncle that does what the fuck they want. Like they're the kooky uncle. Like they go, like, you know, you go to a funeral, everyone's wearing like, you know, dark suits, and then you know the uncle that will turn up like wearing yellow or something like that, like a really funky bow tie. Like, hey guys, uncle, it's a funeral. Yeah, I know, man, but you know what? He lived his life like it's golden. So am I. Like, do you know what I mean? So I think, and it sometimes it goes wrong. Like the Nintendo, the Wii U.
Yeah, that was
but the Switch, yeah man, it's doing really well. But you're right, CJ, though, it's just after these big titles
I mean, you know, they create an icon in Mario. What more do you want, eh?
Luigi.
a bit more
Luigi, yeah. But yeah, alright, so you had a go with the Switch.
Do you know what I have been enjoying, though? I don't know if you guys check out Dorkly on YouTube.
Yeah,
he does parodies of like 8-bit games in that. That's and they've got a nice little theme with the relationship between Bowser and Princess Peach and Mario and Luigi, and yeah,
it's what sort of shit's going on?
It's just an interesting
expand.
Explain yourself.
Expand. Well,
nah, check out Dorkly, and then check out Wide Awake on YouTube.
That's right.
.com/.
Not that there's any Wide Awake.
Right, cool. So you had to go on a Labo. We whopped Last Man Kicking is a game that we whopped in to the laptop and got it on a big screen and got you playing it. We've never spoken about it on the show. Please explain what the frig Last Man Kicking is.
All right, I'll set it up for you. So it's based in an office block. I would say it's more of a Google or a Facebook office block, because it contains a basketball court with because that's the sort of place, if that's the only place you'd find a basketball court. Yeah. In an office.
Yeah. Right? Basketball court with football balls.
With giant footballs, right? So you've got a giant football. Was there one ball or was there two? I think it was one ball.
At one moment, two balls did appear.
That's what I mean.
There was a couple of games that we had where there was two balls, and then there was eight players on the pitch at the same time.
Mm.
It kind of varies. I do like that about the game. You just never know.
know what's going to happen.
What's going to happen and who's going to be involved.
So so we were on different teams. Me and CJ were on different teams. We both had an AI character.
Bloods versus Crips.
You are basically sat on a wheelie chair, on an office chair with a shotgun. And the aim of the game is to try and shoot the ball into the net and score a goal, like standard football, but with shotguns and wheelie chairs.
Yeah.
What do I think of the game? I think the game is fun, right? But it's complex. It's not as easy as you think to shoot a shotgun and propel someone to hit a ball.
I think, yeah, the factor as well, because they've tried to make it realistic. When you shoot the shotgun, you hit the ball and the ball goes, but then you also fire off in the other direction.
That's right.
Because if in real life, if I was sitting on this seat with wheels on it right now and I fired a shotgun, I believe as well as hurting everybody in the room, I would roll backwards a little bit.
And yeah.
That definitely happens in the game.
I think that you bump into the other chairs, didn't you? You smash into the other chairs and then you fall down and then you have to tap. I'll give it tap, 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 tap to get back up, which is a bit painful. But my main issue with the game was this. The AI doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. He has no fucking idea. So he's not useless.
He's a hindrance.
He's a hindrance. He's just getting in the way all the time, just shooting. He's just constantly shooting, isn't it? So you either get shot by your own person or you get shot by CJ's AI. can't score a goal. Anyway, bottom line is I won both games. So that's all that mattered.
It's not the winning that counts. It's about the it's about the taking part.
So it's what losers say, CJ. It's what losers say. Billy knows.
I agree with young Jordan. The AI is an absolute waste of space. If you can get it on a one versus one scenario, I think it'll be a different story.
I'd also like to, I don't know, have the option of picking up. You know what would be cool? If you could pick up different weapons around the court. As time goes on, you maybe pick up a machine gun that then propels you differently from a shotgun. So instead of having that one shot and it forces you backwards, you get a slow...
Can you do that noise again, please?
It's a bit like Chewbacca. Obviously, man's been around bare guns, so man knows exactly what a Saturday sound like, innit? So,
obviously.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So, a machine... Like, I wouldn't mind like picking up an actual rocket and like flying around with like a rocket.
See, yeah, that would work. Or a fire extinguisher or something like that.
Well, to be fair, we didn't really give the game that much of a time. So maybe it does develop into the evolution of
when
the gun.
When did it come out?
It's not out yet. What you're actually playing is a beta version of the game. So when it comes out, there's going to be more modes. It's
exclusive.
Battle Royale and stuff like
that.
Only
available on Steam or available on all platforms?
It'll be out on Steam, I know, 100%. Right. Other platforms, I'm not sure. It'll work on Mac and PC, though. I do know that.
Okay.
There you go. So yeah, man. Yeah, you guys, that was a How to Kill Now exclusive, 100%.
iPhone?
Not sure about that.
Well. No, I'm joking.
All right.
No, it's cool. It's a fun game.
So you shot shotguns out of foot. You played five a side with some shotguns and shot each other and tried to knock a ball into a football goal.
That's right.
That was last man kicking. Next, we got you to play Overcooked, which, am I right in saying this is a slightly less violent game?
So Overcooked is essentially a game about teamwork. And about responsibilities. And about healthy eating as well. Because you are making...
Well, we only achieved the salad and a soup, so...
Healthy.
Yeah.
Don't get healthier than that.
Low carb.
Well, the only ingredient was leaf, light lettuce and tomato for the salad.
Yeah, no dressing.
And for the soup, onion. That's it. So, you know, semi-healthy.
So the aim of the game is to work with your partner to feed this beast, which we miserably failed at. So we were transported back in time to the year 1933, where we were taught the mystic ways of cooking, where we then had to be transported into a restaurant and cook onion soup and serve it and then clean up the dishes and then repeat.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's basically... What you don't want to do in life is, but they put that into a game. They've gone, here you go. Here's some tasks, some like menial tasks. Complete them repetitively until you finished.
Do you know what? You were actually cool with it until you had to wash dishes.
When that happened,
I was fine. Like, no, they want me to do dishes. No, fuck this.
But you know, you're on a problem because you walk into the restaurant and, you know, the manager hires you and he's like, right, I want you guys to cook onion soup. Cool. Whilst you're actually cooking the onion soup, he's then like, oh, by the way, can you serve that? You're like, for fuck's sake. All right, cool. So then you serve it. Oh, by the way, can you go and collect the dishes and wash them as well? It's like, listen, if you told me this on the front desk, then I might have.
You know what's quite deep as well, right? That I just thought about it now, right? So we were serving onion soup, right? But our sensei was an onion.
That is very true.
Do you know what I mean? I just thought about it now and I thought, we've just been killing his brothers and sisters and he's been watching. He's a maniac.
But he's an onion with a moustache, though. Does that make him,
you know,
different?
Maybe the onions with moustaches don't like the non-moustached onions and he wants to work them out. And he sent you back in time to do mass genocide on this breed of onion.
He also reminds me a little bit of the guy from Crash Bandicoot. Was he an onion as well?
Was he an onion? I don't know.
Do you know what I mean, though? In my memory, I feel like there was an onion in Crash Bandicoot.
Only you could make this so deep. I did not know it was going to go there.
Woo! That was light as the moon, isn't it?
So, to the creators of Overcooked, explain yourself. What kind of message are you teaching young gamers?
Mm. That they can kill onions?
That they can speak to onions and eat them at the same time?
Jesus. Mm.
You know what's interesting, though, is that somebody always ends up kind of becoming the head chef. And Jordan was like, I'll be sous chef, yeah, but... I did notice you were dropping like quite a few commands out there. You usually that bossy in the kitchen, or is this like an insight into your production process? Nah, is he always more trap drums?
To be fair, in the real world, like Jordan would outcook me in any restaurant. So
yeah.
The honest truth about my cooking life is that I don't like cooking only because I'm such a fan of food, right? Yeah. My expectations are so high that whenever I have attempted to make dishes in the past, they have never reached my expectation. Or as I'm cooking it, I'm like, this is going to, oh, if I add that and I add that, this is going to taste a certain way. And then I eat it and it tastes like trash. So I've purposely avoided doing that.
It's a very good excuse.
I'm such a fan.
So I just let my mum do it, innit?
Yeah. So I'm such a fan of your cooking.
No. All right, honestly, like, listen, Mumsy's cooking, yeah? No one's ever going to beat that. Maybe I have been spoiled to a certain degree because whenever I do turn up at my mum's house, there is food and I'm allowed to eat it. So I'll take that option all day.
Cool. And you're going to get what you like as well.
I'll get what I'm given and I'll get what I like.
So are you the better cook then, Jordan?
Yes. But I'm just going to put it out there.
But
let me explain it like
so
this. But I think CJ's got it in him. But they're like he explained it. There's a form of like he's... He would reach for the delivery quicker than he would reach for
I don't think anyone's ever... You may have experienced this before, right? Is that you decide you're going to cook something. So you're like, all right, cool. Let me go online, get a recipe. You go to the supermarket. You spend X amount of money on getting all this stuff. And then you put X amount of time in actually putting it together. And then you wait for it to get ready. And then if you're cooking for someone else, obviously you've got to present it. So then you put it down on the table. And you all that time, money, energy, and effort you've put into this, you take a bite out of it and you're like, I'm not so sure about this. But then the person sitting opposite you who you've cooked for, they're trying to be polite when you know this isn't what it's supposed to be.
But I think that's what a chef who has presented a bad meal would say. But if you present a good meal, then they should be going, this is...
No,
and you would be going, this is...
I don't possess the ability to do that. So I step back.
You lot would benefit from something like HelloFresh. Again, not being paid. #not an ad. It's like one of those companies where they send you the ingredients and a recipe, but it's all... you get everything you need, and all you have to do is put it together.
It still sounds like I could mess it up.
Where you'd like do the last step first.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I don't know.
I love everything about cooking apart from the washing up. Genuinely,
I really know that so now. After today, yeah, the way your whole attitude changed you were like, "We have to fucking do the dishes too, bruv." What?
Because that's always my trade-off, right? If I cook, someone else is doing the dishes,
right?
So that's why I'm always like, "I'll cook. I don't mind cooking because I prefer to be that person than the person who has to do the dishes."
At least you're honest, though. Like, there's a lot of people out there that'd be like, "Oh yeah, I love cooking. I just don't have time."
Honestly, though,
all the time. You lot are like, "No, I have time, but..." Fuck that.
Are you a washer or a dryer? Remember you used to get those set tasks where it was like either one or the other?
I used to get wash and dry.
Wash and dry.
I used to get wash and dry.
You never had an option of like, nah, you just drying or just washing?
I had a day. I've got three siblings, yeah, right? And obviously mum and dad, but we all lived in the same house, right? I had 2 days a week where I needed to do the dishes, I think. I think I used to do it 3 times. I got stung. Somebody bumped me along the way. I remember doing a lot of dishes.
Someone bumped you along
the way. Bumped me.
Are you the youngest in the family?
I'm the second youngest in the family.
Hmm.
Middle child. Somebody was doing me dirty, I reckon.
Yeah, the middle child always gets the short end of the stick.
I agree.
I too am middle child.
Whoa.
I feel your pain.
CJ.
Fist bump.
It's hard, isn't it, bruv?
It is.
Let me... having to get hand downs in the form of clothes sometimes. Your mum and dad trying to convince you that you'll grow into it.
Yeah, for sure.
And I told you, listen. There's a clear 7-year age difference.
I would describe my childhood in one word, two words. Get what you've got. get you given. That's it.
One word, two words, six words.
Hey, I
describe one word. Get what you get when you're given.
There's an old saying.
That's the one word.
Fool me twice.
Yeah. Fool me twice.
Then shame on
fool me. Fool me, can't get fooled here. Oh, wicked. Right, so that was Overcooked. That's some ways you've been killing time. How you been killing time other than, you know, producing and running around? Anything you've been doing outside of the How to Kill an Hour studios you want to share with us?
I just scored my phone still. No, that was the first. That was my first.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
First answer, when you asked me before, I said, you know what I do? Because I didn't know the premise of the show. I didn't know what it was about. So I just said, you know, this man just scrolls my phone in it and kills an hour that way. Which is, to be fair, probably the most realistic way that most people kill hours.
I appreciate honesty. I appreciate honesty.
But I don't know. How do we kill hours?
I've gone back to watching Breaking Bad again.
What round you on now?
This is my second time round.
Second time round.
I'm on season four. It's heating up between Gus and the cartel, Jesse and Walter. They're at loggerheads. You know, Walter feels paranoid that Jesse's being sucked into Gus's gang, and Jesse has been given the power to kill Gus but chooses not to, and it's all getting a bit deep, isn't it?
Still one of the greatest shows ever.
Honestly,
to be made.
Now that I'm watching it second time around, there's a lot of things that I'm picking up on that I didn't pick up on first time around. I'm also watching it with subtitles.
Okay.
Just because I feel like reading what they're saying, I'm able to digest more of the story. So I'm going to go on a limb and say, yeah, I think it might be the best TV show ever.
Speaking of Breaking Bad, we also killed an hour by going to a Breaking Bad themed bar in East London.
Which one was this? Do tell.
So this is a bar called ABQ, and it is based somewhere in Hackney. This is somewhere you should definitely go. I would advise, though, don't drink before going there.
Right. I mean, my first experience in walking in was that I'm just going to show Marcus a picture of myself and Jordan in the infamous Breaking Bad lab suits.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you guys definitely look like you are ready to create some meth.
We're cooking something in there.
Looking very methodical.
So
are they made out of plastic, these ones?
They're rubber?
Okay. Yeah, like they feel like movie quality.
Kinky.
Yeah. So the aim of the ABQ bar in East London is to go in there and essentially cook your own cocktails, which is fine. Mm. So we got in there, and as we arrived, we were presented with these yellow jumpsuit overalls, mm-hmm, a la Breaking Bad.
And the had one, you already completed some prinking before you got in there?
Yeah,
so you'd
already
had a few.
Done that. We had done
what had you had? What had you consumed?
Well, before that? Mm-hmm. Oh,
red stripe.
Red stripes. We went to Junkyard Golf in and did adult mini golf, which my mate went when I first suggested the idea. He said, "Don't you have to go? Do you have to go off the motorway to go to a mini golf?" I said, "No, they now exist in centre of London, which is crazy, right?" But yeah, we went.
We also had some traditional East End pie and mash, which I'd never had before.
Yeah,
I don't think I'm going to have it again.
I love it. I've been brought up on it, right? But it was the best, it was the most authentic pie and mashup you could possibly get.
So, oh yeah, the experience was great.
There's a place in Hackney, it's still got the sawdust on the floors for when they used to eat the eels and spit the bones on the floors. I was wondering whether if you ate eels now and spat the bone on the floor, whether that would still be acceptable, or whether we go like, what are you doing? Why are you spitting on the floor?
Only one way to find out.
Only one way to find, we're heading back. So, and then after that, the bloke also who ran it, he, what did he say? So he had a super hot chili vinegar that he wanted to serve us. And he went, I've got this sauce, lads. But it's a little bit lively, so don't fuck up your dinners. Like, so I loved it. I loved
it. Yeah, it was cool. It was cool. The only way I could describe the mash is like the mash you would have like back in school.
Smash.
Oh, I love that shit. Oh, yeah, I love school dinners,
it's
man.
It's
great.
It's, yeah, it takes you back to that era. Yeah. It's like smash and a parsley type-esque sauce that's pretty flavourless.
Okay, and so that one won't fuck up your dinner.
That one won't, nah. That's
so yeah, Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad. So yeah. Anyway, we ended up there and then they give you a load of tasks.
Yeah, no, sorry. When I got there, he gave me the yellow jumpsuit and had a massive hole by the crotch, right?
He must have heard you were coming, yeah, CJ.
got very excited. So I said to Jordan, I was like, look at that. There's a hole in the jumpsuit. Gus wouldn't stand for this, as a reference to Gus Fring, who creates the best meth lab on the planet.
And quite tasty chicken.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. To which the roadman who was running the ABQ bar said, if you don't fucking like it, you know where the door is. Which I thought was quite rude.
Wow. They've just lost the star. Yeah. But apart from that, it was really good. Like, but I was so smashed, I couldn't make any more cocktails. And they at one point came up to us and said, this is lads, I think you're all fucked, you don't need any more, because we were trying to order more cocktails, and he's like, you don't need any more, guys,
like,
all right?
Genuinely. Just, like but it was said with such sincerity that we all were like oh yeah, maybe
we're all right. Oh, fun.
Is it like unlimited drinks when you get in there, unlimited cocktails?
No, it's not unlimited drinks.
You get three cocktails or something like that, but they're quite big.
They give you a menu, and on the menu you can pick like a series of recipes that you can cook. So we obviously picked the one that was going to get us trashed the quickest, which it did, really.
But then the problem is what they bring out dry ice, and they bring out like the, what's the canister that gives you the laughing gas? But the nitrous... Is it nitrous oxide? Yeah. These are dangerous bits of equipment for people who can't properly see. Do you know what I mean? So that was dangerous.
But you survived.
We survived. We're here. I've got no fingers, but I'm here. I'm here. Yeah. So yeah, that was a good experience.
ABQ
in East London. Yeah.
So should we go and try it out, or should we?
100%.
If we've got some stuff like that, like for killing time, should we send you guys over to it at some point? Because we get stuff like that on the table all the time.
Oh, for sure.
Alcoholic experiences.
We'd go back. Timely. Whether they want us back.
Yeah. So maybe not that specific venue.
But it also depends on how coherent you want the review to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think as long as you can remember where it was. And what it was about.
And how you got home.
Nah, that's a bit of a big ask around
you
guys.
It don't even matter how you got home.
What matters is you don't get to your home. It's someone else's.
All right, wicked. ABQ, we'll check that out, man. Thank you. I'm going to let you know I've been killing some time recently. Nowhere near as exciting as... Actually, wait, this might be exciting. I went to Facebook on Friday. Nice. Just gone.
Did they have a basketball court in there with massive giant balls and people shooting shotguns?
The one thing they didn't have...
Yeah.
Was a basketball court with shotguns. But maybe they'll have it in the future. No, I went to Central London. There's a couple of places that I went to. I don't know if I'm allowed to say specifically where I went, so I'm going to tell you what I can tell you. Mm-hmm. But mate, it's, you know, you hear about, oh, Facebook, you could live there and work there and they've got everything you need. Mm. This place literally has apartments in the building. Like, so you could live there, go to work, and have free food all day. They've got food all day, bruv. You would love it, CJ.
You as a visitor also has access to the free food?
I got access to the free food.
Really?
Wow. Yes, as a visitor on the Friday.
What kind of food are we talking?
They have themed meals every week, so you get a week of themed meals. So that week they just had West Indian, so there was plantain on the go. There was some.
Was this legitimate West Indian?
Yeah, yeah, it was very, very good. So yeah? very good.
So just
very,
loads of rice and bones. Yeah. And everything on the menu wasn't.
This is
wasn't
Mr.
There.
I can't wait. I can't wait for Pie and Mash Week. Wait. I can't wait for the week when they got sawdust on the floor.
A bit on the floor.
There was everything but the attitude from sick, the food shop. Sick, so there wasn't way on. Me not have that. It wasn't that. They got themes, and then as well, like their food is just. It is everything that you think it is. Every single floor in Facebook has a snack bar that you can go to and just rinse all day long. It's got drinks, all day long.
Yeah,
free.
People behind the bars, or you just help yourself?
They have areas where there's special coffee machines where people will make you a coffee if you want. And then in the general areas, there's like general snacks. Get cold drink, popcorn, crisps, chocolate, chewing gum. Even and I was like,
really?
I was like, can I take some of this? They're like, yeah, and they're like, oh, okay, cool. Can I take some more? Yeah, and so I filled my pockets.
That's
nicely.
Amazing.
They've got sweet dispensing machines, so you go up to a machine. It's got like
free
cola, yeah, cola drops.
You can tell me from
free,
hey, free, yeah,
free.
Man, when I take them back, like man's bringing a car, isn't it? But. What's in your backpack? Oh, nothing, man. Nothing. Don't worry about that.
Oh, man. But yeah,
but to be fair, if you're working there, you that will grow tiresome pretty soon, right? Yeah.
Everyone there, you could tell I was new because I was like filling my plate up.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
there's a mountain on my plate. Everyone else is just chilled.
Yeah, because after 10 years, you look at Sandra, and Sandra's like, well, one more docky biscuit. Do you know what I mean? And then you're like, oh, poor Sandra.
Yeah.
If only the sweets weren't free. If only she had to pay for them.
So all of this gratuity courtesy of Facebook, does that enhance productivity? Does that enhance morale in the building? Like, what is the end goal of all of this generosity?
I think it's a very clever move from a company. So if you think about it, if your employees don't have to leave the building to get a snack,
then why would they?
Then why would they ever? No, but like, for example, say like we were, now we're in the How to Kill an Hour studios. If I wanted to go and get a coffee from the cafe, it'll take me 3 minutes to walk down there. There might be a queue for 5 minutes. Queue 5 minutes, 3 minutes to walk back. That's 10 minutes.
Yeah.
If we had a snack room outside, I could just walk up to it, press a button on a coffee machine and grab a packet of crisps or something like that. That'll take me a minute. Now you times that by all the employees in the company, or like 5 minutes, should we say. Now we times that 5 minute saving by all the employees in the company, you've saved yourself so much productivity.
Yeah.
You get me? And all you got to do is put in all the little snacks that they like.
More time to listen to other people's conversations via their phone. Whoop, going deep again. Yeah, I get it. It makes sense. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, man.
So interesting.
Yeah, it was, man. I think the freeness of the food was a big bit of excitement for me. I did enjoy that very much. There was no octopi there, though. There was no calamari.
They don't have that in the Caribbean, do they?
They don't have no squid in Caribbean. No.
Fuck you, no. What else have they got there? They got meeting rooms that are named after things British people don't like. Like,
oh, really?
Uncomfortably long silences, slow walkers, people that say sorry too much.
I love all of it.
Really?
Yeah. Sorry.
So that was Facebook.
Sorry, I didn't mean to. Sorry.
That was Facebook for me. Oh yeah, and they streamed the whole Zuckerberg thing.
They streamed it
in all around the building when it was popping off with the Senate giving him some grief.
Really?
Yeah,
they thought it probably was hilarious.
I reckon they rate him, man. In there, they really like him.
Of course they rate him. They give him
free food,
free sweets and that.
Yeah, free sweets and food.
That's what I'm with him.
So that's how I've been killing some time.
What was the nature of your business there, Marcus?
Yeah, I was a friend. That was being invited around the building and shown the hospitality that they have.
Did you also see how they manipulated political views?
I've got to be honest.
Bringing it back deep again. CJ with the deepness.
Didn't ask that question. You know, it's the one thing you don't want to ask when you're in a building.
I feel like your time there was wasted then, Mark.
You could have really established a really political view on things.
I should have just said that to everyone. Excuse me, how do you feel about manipulation of political... Okay, right.
Yeah.
Do you walk in a Labour and then walk out a Conservative? Is that what it is?
Question is, I would like to know... in the Facebook building, who verifies people?
Yeah. Trying to get verified out here.
You guys not got your blue ticket?
Man's trying to get my blue tick out here.
That is well overdue, man.
Do you know what? More so
on both platforms.
The problem is, again, we picked the worst name for searching on Google. So it would just be nice if there was a little bit of distinction. Yeah.
Would you ever change your names to We Wide Awake? I know that's what you use as your hashtag and stuff like that, because that might help your SEO.
No.
No? Why not?
I refuse.
It's just a little bit of wee in your name.
That's what I mean.
A little bit of wee doesn't harm anyone.
Dusty wee in their cupboard. All right? And that is that.
A little bit of wee never hurt anyone, though. Just saying. That would help you.
Yeah.
Especially if you're stung by a
we thought about it, but we love our name, really. As much trouble as it causes us, we love it, really.
Okay, you fair know. Enough. And Katy Perry.
And Katy Perry. We love Katy Perry more.
I mean, you never know. If you did a tune with Katy Perry, that would fuck up the whole of Google. Oh, people would be Googling all over the place.
Completely.
It'll be annihilation. We'd have to cook salads for.
But not monsters. do the dishes. Right. Another way I've been killing time is surfing the internet. I like to waste my time surfing the internet. I found an advert. We're big fans of non conventional inventions here. We've had a big hitter of a show called Dildo Drone, where there was an advert for a dildo drone. A dildo drone.
Why would you need that?
You'll have to go and listen to that show. Right, Billy, can you find out what number show that is, please? And we'll share that with you and the listener if you'd like to listen to the dildo drone.
What is a dildo drone?
All of this will be answered in episode
35.
Yes. Fucking hell, way back.
If they sent you a dildo drone, would you review it?
I'd have to have a go, wouldn't I?
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to have a go. I'd have to give it a try at least.
Deep brace yourself.
Deep breaths.
So we've had that. We've been on the cutting edge of innovation. Last year, Philips gave us a shaver just designed for the face, and I shaved my balls with it. Lo and behold, a year later, the same razor has come out with a special attachment, and it's now called the One Blade Face and Body. Where's my check?
I saw an advert for that.
Yep, you seen an advert for it. Good shaver for everything. Yeah. Honestly, I last year I shaved my balls with it, and I went raw dog without the special safety device that they got on it
it's
now.
It's a dangerous game.
You don't want to clip your gooch.
It's dangerous.
It's a very dangerous
game. Because I remember the first time I clipped down there, and that's where you feel like you potentially could die. Because you think, when's it going to stop?
Bleeding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, for dangerous. Me, shaving was never the issue. It was the regrowth.
That was always
the uncomfortable part of it.
Yeah. I think there's a niche in the market there. If we could work out a product that would help, other than just a bit of talc, because there's only so much work talc can do to one's nether regions. I mean, it can help to alleviate some of the symptoms, but that regrowth, especially when you've got strong growth as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, dick hairs.
So we had a few inventions like that. So I came across this invention.
Sorry, did you get your check for that?
I was just going to say.
Do you know what? I didn't get my check. Like,
You've advertised a lot on this show and nothing. Are you all right? Is this where you live, Marcus?
This studio is where I'm at, bro.
He went to Facebook to get a shower.
I went to Facebook to get a hot meal.
A good night's sleep.
Yeah. Get me. It was good. But I came across this advert. It's called the Dyson. Well, I'll let you hear the rest.
Dyson products have always been the result of rigorous design, research, and innovation. Every one of our product launches begins with a marriage of form and function. And the trend continues with the new Dyson Ball Blade. The fastest, most hygienic way to achieve total scrotal dryness. Every second, up to 9.25 gallons of HEPA-filtered air is forced through 0.8mm wide apertures, creating 420-mile-per-hour sheets of air that swaddle your berries. In just 12 seconds or 6 seconds per ball. Also included for your nether region, a patented telescoping tape dryer. The Dyson Ball Blade. because every package should be handled with care.
So that was the Dyson ball blade.
Yeah.
The Dyson ball blade.
Hey,
I saw that.
Hey, does it come with the model? Because he was looking kind of scrumptious there.
Yeah. He was looking rather fine still.
I just thought I'd put it to you. Is there anything out there that's missing from the market in terms of male care? Because you guys are on the road, you're out there traveling. Is there anything that's missing out here? Because now Dyson have got the ball blade. So on these summery months that are forthcoming in the UK, should we have hot weather? And you know talc ain't gonna do the job of drying. You might want to get on that ball blade and dry your balls first. Is there anything that we could really bring to the table?
The only thing I can think of is it's not an invention per se. It's just maybe something that should be more available everywhere, which is wet wipes.
Okay.
I feel like they're underused in society. I feel like you go to the toilet and you sit down. There's no possible way that you can fully hygienically and comfortably clean yourself with dry tissue. You wouldn't clean a baby's bum with dry tissue, nor if you had a bit of a accident on your actual skin anywhere other than your nether region, would you just take a bit of dry tissue and wipe it off? You would opt for something a bit more moisturized. So can that be something that could be placed in more places other than your own home bathroom?
As a wet wiper at home, I've got to like, that's a real fucking valid point. At what point did we decide that adults can have shitty asses?
I don't know, and I strongly refute that idea.
Quick question around this. I've asked a few people on the show, and we just got to get the general consensus in. Billy doesn't like me asking this question.
Hey, Billy knows what's about to come.
When you go for a shit.
Yes.
After shitting.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to envisage you've had a shit, you know, you've read the fucking broadsheets or had a go in your app and whatever. You've finished your shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to wipe. Sit down or stand up when you wipe. Are you a sitter or a stand up?
Jordan's seen what I do.
I've seen him. I didn't want to see CJ, but it happened.
Listen, Jordan is a very inquisitive young man.
I'll tell you what it was, right? So we're in Amsterdam, right?
That's a good start to the story.
We're in Amsterdam. We're having a night out.
We're having a whale of a time.
So the first night, it went a bit downhill for CJ. He collapsed after being in a place.
Smoking some of the finest hash.
And he knocked himself out, right? So
What? You fell and hit your head? Or you just were...
He fell off the smallest curb.
Here is the situation, right? In Amsterdam, there are two things that you'll notice, right? Is that the curbs on the street are very tiny, that maybe half an inch off the actual road, and they have the tiniest steps I've ever seen on the planet. Have you ever walked down the steps in Amsterdam or walked up?
I believe I have.
They're very tiny, very narrow. Anyway,
so yeah,
after a long day of smoking, which I'm not a smoker, so that affected me anyway.
Yeah,
tripped over the half inch curb on the road, and
the only way I can describe it is if you imagine you know the scene in Family Guy with the two old men fighting, right?
Right.
And he falls off the step at the end, right? That's how it looked.
Pervert right? Herbert versus
Pervert
the Nazi.
Pervert Herbert versus the Nazi guy, and he falls off the step. Anyway, he fell off the step. He's hit his head so hard that he knocked himself out. Anyway, everyone's panicking, but oh no, he's going to die, whatever. He comes to, he's in a Disney movie. Anyway, that was the first night.
How long was he out for?
I don't know. I mean, every now and again.
Was it half a spliff?
I mean, Jordan was quite high at this moment.
Everyone panicked. It was not a good state.
But
I'll
tell you what, though. Coming to, it was like the best feeling in the world. I just felt like my whole body reset.
He looked like he came up to the sound of a whole new world playing.
Did you get unhigh? Did you come around sober?
I definitely sobered up, but I just felt great. It was like the best feeling I've ever had in my life.
Not that we advise people to knock themselves out and then wake up from it. Anyway, that was the first night. And then second night, so I was with my mate Ben, and we're in a club. Suddenly CJ's missing. We're like, oh, no. He's like, he's gone off again. Like, oh, this is it. He's going to kill himself, right? So
we thought, right, we're searching around the club. We went to one toilet. CJ is not in there, right? Went to another toilet, right? CJ,
right. Here, let me explain this, right? I went to the toilet. So I'm in the toilet, and I'm not an advocate for doing a shit in the club. It's like the worst place that you could ever think of doing it.
Go.
But when nature calls, your body's got to do what it's got to do.
When you got to go, you got to go, sir.
So I'm in the toilet. So back to your original question, do you sit down or do you stand up? I personally stand up, right? I do a back wipe. I do a front wipe while standing up.
Weird, isn't it? How do we negotiate the front wipe?
I mean, I can demonstrate for you, right?
Yeah,
now.
Like, all right, I'll explain what I see. I don't know if I, so. All right, CJ, so if you standing
are,
up,
so if you are,
he stood
toilet.
So he's facing the microphone.
You stand up from the toilet.
Stood up from the toilet.
Away, you have a little crouch. You wipe from the back.
Wipe from the back,
and then you wipe from the front.
So do you wipe back to front or front to back?
Both. A bit of both.
I'm thorough with the wipe.
A little scratch.
avoiding all ball contact. Anyway, so I could hear Jordan and Ben outside the toilet. CJ, where are you? We can't find you. What I said, or what I thought I said, was, I'm in the toilet. Give me a minute.
What
they
I
never heard that.
Was, right, like that, right? So we're thinking, fuck, he's passed out again, but this time he's in the fucking toilet, right? So Ben's like, well, I'm going to have to break him out. Like, we have to fucking break him out. Anyway, luckily, the toilet doors, well, not luckily, really, but the toilet doors were the ones that you could twist with like a coin. Ben got out a coin, twisted it open, right? Euro, yeah. Twisted it open. I was like, Jordan, go open it. We're like, oh, I don't want to. He could be like lying there and like, oh, no. Anyway, open the fucking door. CJ is not facing me, right? But his ass is facing me, right? Mid-wipe, swiping up, right? Obviously on the wipe up, and turns with his, so he's got his trousers down by his fucking ankles, swiping up, and turns to me and says,
in my head I'm saying, what are you doing?
And I'm like, ah, I can't unsee this. This is horrible. Yeah. And that was how I found out how CJ wiped.
Yeah. Oh shit, CJ.
Yeah.
So shit, CJ.
So Jordan can attest to how thorough I am with the wipe.
Very thorough.
Did you stick around for very long? No, or did that door close?
No, the door came quickly closed.
Okay.
Oh man. But we can both, you know, Ben will vouch for this as well. You can't unsee that. That is an image that will never leave your head.
Bonding, isn't it? It's bonded, you know, like you're close in a way that you wouldn't have been before.
Yeah.
So Jordan, how do you?
I also stand, but what I don't do is face the fucking door with my ass. I face away, because then you've got the shield and you're ready to fight. It's more.
But how many times has someone opened the door whilst you've been wiping?
Some of them toilets, like, oh, dodgy. But that's what I've learned from experience from me opening your door. Always to be wary of someone.
You can always open my door.
Yeah. So
do you do the balls wipe front thing? Because this is a new thing CJ's brought to the table.
I've just found that out today.
Listen. Take this gem away from you. Take this gem away with you today, right? Next time, wipe backwards and then wipe frontwards and see what else comes out.
I'm going to try. Fuck it. I'm going to try. I'm a sitter. I mean, did you know that sitters existed, by the way? Was that weird?
I've heard of that, but I don't understand it.
I'll tell you what I do have, right, which is more toilet stuff that I recently got, is a squatty potty. Have you heard of those?
You have a squatty potty.
I've heard of that, yeah.
A squatty potty.
I do know what that is, but please explain that to the listener. That's great.
A squatty potty, if you're looking from the outside, you'll come into the toilet and you'll think it's a step for a child.
Yep.
It's not. It is a little plastic step that an adult would sit on the toilet, and you put your legs up onto it, and it heightens the level of your knee so that you are basically squatting. So it looks like you're squatting on a toilet.
Essentially brings you back into the frame you are supposed to.
And that's how we're meant to shit.
That's how we're meant to poo. Yeah. So, but what, after many days trialing, what I found with it is two things. The hard shits became no more. Very easy.
Mm-hmm.
Very fluid.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, you can't stay on that toilet for very long. It feels like your insides are going to come out.
Really?
It's angled at such a position that there's a lot of gravity pushing down. And plus, the angle that you sit on, it parts them bum cheeks, I'll tell you that.
So you're not only, you don't just no longer have to push. Mm. You actually have to stop your insides from falling out.
I would say there's the one flaw that I found with it is the way that you're sitting, because you've got quite an open front part, the smell comes and slaps you in the face.
Or it depends on what you've been eating.
So usually you would kind of like, you'd shield that off, right, with your legs, right?
Mm.
But now your legs are parted and they're high, so you've got a big gap for air. So as soon as you shit, that smell just comes up and just slaps you around the face. So but, that's something to get used to. But the shit is quicker, you're out of there quicker, you know?
So you
and your arsehole thanks you.
So you're saying, so your arsehole says thanks
all the time. Yeah.
Now all we need is some wet wipes, a squatty potty each, and then we're all good to go. Golden. Speaking of good to go, we have had one heck of a mighty show here today at How to Kill an Hour. Before we leave you, don't forget to sign up to howtokillanhour.com/news. We will keep you in the loop for everything we are doing How to Kill an Hour wise. That's exclusive discount codes, giveaways, and extra content. My name is Marcus Bronzy.
My name is CJ.
My name's John Crisp.
And together we are
Wide Awake!
Please reintroduce yourselves, though. Let's just make it clear. You are Wide Awake,
allow
also known
to
as.
Reintroduce ourselves. My name is CJ.
My name is Jordan Chris.
And together we are.
Oh, say it at the same time, CJ.
Wide Awake.
Hey.
If we just had a bit of reverb on that would have sounded stupendous.
We can do that again.
Please. Right. Ready?
Oh, say it at the same time, CJ.
Wide Awake.
Hey.
I'm a celebrity. Get me out of the jungle.
Who are you, man? And what do you do?
Former garage MC plus former drum and bass MC.
Ex-stripper hand models.
Together joined forces to create incredible trap music, which has taken over the globe one song at a time.
Indeed.
To put it in short, we're two DJ producers from London who make trap music.
From South London, to be specific.
Yeah.
South London, to be specific.
Mm-hmm. Specific, yeah.
Pacific.
Pacific, to be Pacific.
To be Pacific. And fucking trap music you make. Can I play a small clip of No featuring Cadet and Dirt Cap, and produced by yourself and Dirt Cap?
I would be offended if you didn't, Marcus.
Okay, this is a little example of what these guys do.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50,
luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.